Turn your Bibles, turn in your Bibles if you will, if you have your Bible and you can read, turn in your Bible to John chapter 18. John chapter 18. Follow along. If you're old enough to read, follow along in the message, because understand, this is just not Brother Jim's message for this time and then it'll all be done and over with and that. But if you can read, take your Bible, turn to John chapter 18 and read what God says to you. This is God's word from heaven to you. In the thinking and consideration of the two words, I am, we have another passage here where the Lord Jesus Christ says something, and it is very great indeed, and it's related to the thing that came about in his ministry that he told about, it was prophesied about, and that came to pass, and I think do well for us to consider about this this morning. In John chapter 18, verse number 5, the scripture says, they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am. The King James translators added that word he. That's the reason it's in italics. Likely so in your copy of the scripture there. They added that to help us with understanding. Sometimes those things help us with understanding. Sometimes they confuse the issue. But that's what those italicized words mean, is that the translators added that to help out with the understanding and context of the passage. They're asking, these that are here are asking, they're seeking for someone. They say, Jesus of Nazareth, and the Lord Jesus says unto them, I am. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your salvation and your call to your church. We thank you, Father, for your command to meet together with your people on your day to worship you. And Lord, we thank you for your blessings in it already. Your word that's been brought forth, the songs we've been blessed to sing, the prayers that our brethren have lifted up to you. And as we've prayed with them, Lord, we've been able to petition you and thank you and seek your face concerning different things, different matters. We praise your name that you have touched us and saved us and made us your own. We pray, Father, that you would just help us. We might worship you at this time. Father, that we would continue to worship you in the day. And Lord, just help us in that. Open your word to us. Help us to see wonderful and mighty things from your word. And Lord, that we might be stirred, we might be helped, we might be changed as your people. We might be more faithful to you until the Lord Jesus Christ comes. Father, we pray for those who are here without Christ, that they might see what Jesus Christ has done so that sinners can be saved. Lord, that they might see their great need and their great guilt before you, their sin, their transgression. And Lord, that they'd cry out unto you for mercy. Lord, you'd save their souls. They might come to you in repentance and faith as you command. Father, work, we pray, and help. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Here in John chapter 18, it's right at the end of the Lord Jesus Christ's ministry. And we pointed out in different times previous in our study and consideration of these passages that the Lord Jesus Christ, even though it's at the night when he is going to be turned over and delivered into the hands of wicked sinners, as was prophesied, that he is caring and ministering to his church. They come here to the Garden of Gethsemane. And we read here in this passage in chapter 18, when Jesus had spoken these words, verse 1, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, or that is Kidron, where was a garden, that's the Garden of Gethsemane, into which he entered and his disciples. He had been there before, the disciples had been there before, and here at night they're going to this place, and it seems like, if we understand the scriptures correctly, it's approaching midnight, okay? And Judas also, verse 2, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oft-times resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers and chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, isn't that something? He knew everything. We're going to look at that more. Went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? Our text, they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. In verse 6, as soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, of them which thou gavest me, I have lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Verse 12, then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. We see here in the Garden of Gethsemane that this group with all this weaponry, they come here looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. I find it amazing how it is in this that they're looking for him and they can't tell who he is. They have to have someone there to point, to put the finger on the Lord Jesus Christ, to point him out. They ask as they come into the garden, and I can, in my mind's eye, I think about this. They've got all that weaponry. They've got swords and staves and knives and maybe shields. And it's kind of like seems to be maybe captain of the guard that's there with the Sanhedrin or some men that have armament. They come with lanterns and torches and weapons, it says in verse number 3. And you can kind of, it's silent and still when the disciples and the Lord go there to Gethsemane. And then you hear this clanking, clank, clank, rattle, rattle, these lanterns going around. And these fellas get up on the Lord Jesus Christ and his disciples. And they say, Jesus says to them, who you looking for? Whom seek ye? Verse 4. And they say, Jesus of Nazareth. And he says, I am he. I am. And when he said that, I think about an envision. It's like Keystone Cops. You know what Keystone Cops are? Those guys, they run around. They're chasing after the bad guy. They can't get anything right. The ladder falls apart, falls off the building. Everything goes wrong with them. And that's what I envision with these fellows. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I am. And they rattle, clunk, clatter, fall backward. And then they're dazed and they're upset and caught off guard and all that. They fall backward at the Lord's declaration, I am. And then they get back up and get themselves together again. And it's almost like the Lord Jesus is playing with them. At his word, as soon as he had said unto them, I am, they went backward and fell to the ground. Wouldn't that get your attention? Well, look how blind they are. And then he asked them again, whom seek ye? Whom you looking for? And they say it again. They said, Jesus of Nazareth. And the Lord, I have told you that I am he. I am. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way. So they're there. The Lord shows us power by the very utterance of who he is. I am. They fall back. They rattle around there, get back up. Lanterns and torches. Fallen backwards. I think that would create a stir. Understand, these fellows aren't dressed like we are today, shirt and pants, stuff like that. They've got robes, pieces of cloth rolled around them, maybe stuff on their head. Can you imagine getting around a... And they don't have fireproofing then either. I mean, with a torch and a lantern, and oil in the lantern, the torch going. Can you imagine what their stir was? I mean, it's a sight, just the very words of our Lord. I am, clunk, 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 clatter, clatter, clatter. There's a whole herd of them. And the Lord says, well, I've told you I'm him. And then he yields himself over to them. What we want to focus on here this morning is what it says here in verse number 5. The Lord says, I am. And it says there in the latter part of the verse, Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. Betrayal. Betrayal. Have you ever been betrayed? All kinds of different ways that we can be betrayed. Husbands and wives can betray one another in marriage, can't they? Maybe you've sought counsel from somebody. Pastors deal with this. In a joking, and I understand in a loving way, I'm accused of not communicating with Clarissa very well. But the thing is, as a pastor, when you come to me seeking counsel or help or a desire for me to pray for you about something that doesn't need to be spread abroad, sometimes or most of the time, or my rule is I don't talk to Clarissa about it. And some have marveled that, oh, Brother Jim, tell you about that, tell you about blah, 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 blah. Maybe they would confide, someone would confide in Clarissa. And she says, no, he didn't say anything to me about it. Well, y'all don't talk to each other. Well, things that you talk to me about that's in your personal life or that you desire prayer about or counsel about, it's none of her business, even though she's my wife. And so, but it can be that if everything I was told that I told my wife, and being pastor, it might be a sensitive thing or something that you're dealing with or wrestling with, or it's just not appropriate for it to be public at that point, that if you would find out that my wife and children know about that, you would feel betrayed. Sometimes there's soldiers that go out. They go out to fight. They have a plan of action, secret mission, something like that. And then they arrive at the place where they're going to accomplish the mission, do whatever they're going to do, and they find out there's many, many forces there against them. They've been betrayed. A spy has been at work, has found out with reconnaissance what's going on, has cracked the code of the communications of those military people, and they've gone there. And they've been betrayed. David had some things like that, didn't he? Betrayal. We can be betrayed in our work where managers or folks that are in over people and you got a big project going on. You got different pieces of the puzzle being taken care of by different people. And they all say that they're going to do their part and they commit to do their part. And there's a timeline that's really stiff and at hand, and one or two guys didn't do their job. Now we got real trouble. Feel betrayed in that, can't you? Well, our Lord Jesus Christ, He is the great I Am, even in His betrayal. It's really something, you know, in considering about the Lord Jesus Christ in this. He, even in His betrayal, He is the great I Am. He will be betrayed. We want to take a look and consider here the knowledge of God. In Matthew chapter 17, it said, the Scripture says, "And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, The Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men." He said it plainly. Not here real close to the end, but he said it plainly way before the time of His betrayal. Coming very near in Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20, verse number 18. "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn Him to death." He even knew about His death, didn't he? He is the great I Am. He knows He will be betrayed. And He goes ahead and goes forward with what He came to do. If you and I, if in that scenario where the forces, you know, fighting forces would go and have a plan of action, and then they would find out that a spy has compromised their mission and that there's going to be readiness there to meet them on that place that they were going to accomplish their mission at, we would change our course, wouldn't we? Not go right into harm's way. We would have a change of action. We would fortify and take more forces, or we would change the timing of it. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't change anything for what He came to do. He is I Am. And very near in Matthew chapter 26, the Lord Jesus says to His disciples, "You know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover." This has come up very near. It's one thing to know a thing far off, but now we're 2 days away from his crucifixion, I believe. After that 2 days is the Feast of Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Not just exposed or betrayed in some kind of covert, top-secret thing to where you're exposed and then it's up. He's going to be betrayed to death. And yet he goes forward with that. In Matthew chapter 26, I find this interesting in how the Lord Jesus Christ, he's so calm, isn't he? So assured of his calling and work that he's been sent to do of the Father. In Matthew chapter 26, verse number 23, and he answered and said, "He that dippeth with me in the dish, the same shall betray me." Anybody that's going to betray me, I'd want to get away from them, wouldn't you? That's our natural tendency. But the Lord Jesus Christ is there eating with him. The knowledge of God. I am. The great I am, even in his betrayal. It goes on. He goes on to say in verse number 24, "The Son of Man goeth as is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born." Wow. What a blessing it is to not have been chosen by the Lord to be the betrayer of the Lord Jesus. Could have been. The Lord could have chosen me to betray him. Brother Jim, that's heavy. Well, we're dealing with a great and sovereign God, aren't we? Been better if he hadn't even been born. Son of perdition, Judas. But the Lord goes on, doesn't he? In Mark chapter 14, "The Son of Man indeed goeth, as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born." Here in Matthew chapter 26, we come to this account in the garden, right up against this passage, right before this passage that we've read in John 18. And in verse number 45, listen to what Jesus says, what the account is of what Jesus says. "Then cometh he to his disciples after he had prayed, and he bid them to watch and to pray, and saith unto them, Sleep on now." Don't worry, you don't need to pray anymore. Go ahead, fellas, sleep on now and take your rest. Matthew 26:45, "Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed in the hands of sinners." He knew it. They haven't arrived yet. But the Lord knows. Listen to this, verse 46. "Rise, let us be going. Behold, he that is at hand, he is at hand that doth betray me." Jesus is going to go facing face to face. He's the I am even in his betrayal. And we see in his betrayal, we see the great I am and his knowledge, the knowledge of God. And he goes right on, right on, right straight on. "He that betrayeth me, the hand of him that betrayeth me, is at hand." In Matthew 26, verse number 48, we read here, verse 47, "And while he yet spake," Jesus was speaking, "lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders. And now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he, hold him fast." He said, "I'm going to point him out to you by walking up to him and giving him a kiss." Wow. Jesus didn't, he didn't take the disciples and put them in front of him to shield him or protect him. He's right there at the lead, isn't he? He even as we read, as the Lord Jesus is betrayed and given away by Judas, they say, in that account in John 18, who do you seek? They say, "Jesus of Nazareth." They don't recognize that he is him, okay? And he says, I am he. It took Judas to come up and let him know too, as we see here. And Verse number 49 of Matthew 26, it says here, "And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, 'Hail, Master,' and kissed him." What a hypocrite. He's a hypocrite indeed. He doesn't regard the Lord as Master. All he sees in the Lord Jesus Christ is a price. Judas, I believe, has come to a point that it's time to quit faking, time to get on with life. And he's an opportunist and sees this opportunity to make good on this man. And he kisses him. He kisses him. It says in Luke chapter 22, verse 48, in the same account, in the same place here in Matthew 26, "But Jesus said unto him, 'Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss?'" You know, the Lord's, I would run. Wouldn't you? I would change my tactic. You know somebody's going to betray you to the authorities. But the Lord Jesus, he just faces him right on. He says, "Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss?" He deals even with him. Oh, the calmness and coolness of the Lord. Because he's on a plan. He's on a mission. He's got a purpose. And he's going to fulfill it, isn't he? He is. He is. The Lord Jesus Christ. No wonder if there'd be those that would betray me. What am I? But the King of Glory, the Son of God, the Creator of all, the Savior of the world, should he be betrayed? But he was, wasn't he? He was betrayed for our sakes. In John chapter 6, earlier in the Lord's ministry, the Lord Jesus said, "But there are some of you that believe not." There had been a great division because of the Lord's preaching. "For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him." Tell you what, it's of most important to be honest with the Lord. He knows everything about us. He knows our hearts. You know, we can put on and put up a facade before one another, but the Lord God Almighty, the great I Am, knows us. I can fake you out, you can fake me out. I'm not saying you are. I just want you to be aware that it can be. But God knows the truth. Get honest with the Lord. Get honest with the great I Am. Do you know Him, and does He know you? In that same chapter in John 6, verse number 70, the Lord Jesus says, "Jesus answered them, 'Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?' He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was," John writes, "that should betray him, being one of the 12. When John wrote, he knew of all the account, and he wrote that in earlier in his account of the gospel. In 1 Corinthians 11:23, the Apostle Paul, reviewing about the Lord's Supper and issues about such and that church in Corinth, and in verse number 23, the Apostle Paul writes to them, he says, "For I received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you." And that's what pastors do and what teachers do, receive instruction in the Word of God from the Lord and then give it to others. "That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." He knew he was going to be betrayed. You know you're going to be betrayed in 6 to 8 hours. You know you're going to be betrayed in 3 or 4 hours, and you go ahead and eat? Lord Jesus, he had a plan. He was on a mission. And even in his betrayal, we see his great knowledge, don't we? The knowledge of God, the knowledge of the great I Am. Also in this betrayal, in Matthew chapter 26, and come back here and read in verse number 47. And I think I already read this. We'll read it again. It says here, "And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came with him with a great multitude and with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave him a sign, saying, 'Whomsoever I shall kiss, the same, that same is he, hold him fast.' Forthwith he came to Jesus and said, "Hail, Master," and kissed him. So we've seen about that. Judas betrayed our Lord. And listen to this. And Jesus said unto him, "Friend, wherefore art thou come?" And he faces him and tells him that. And then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand, we know it's Peter, and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. And that said that, I've heard it said when I was younger that Peter was just kind of wild. He wasn't a fighting man. He didn't know how to handle a sword. I tell you what, Peter was a fisherman. He knew how to handle a knife. I think old Peter was saying, "Time for a show of force, boys." The Lord Jesus says this. And Jesus said unto him, "Put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the Scriptures be fulfilled?" Jesus is thinking about the Scriptures when he's been betrayed. In any degree that you and I have been betrayed, I tell you what, no matter what it was in, we were hurt. And Jesus goes right on. "Peter, put up that sword. This isn't a time to fight. I've got to do what the Lord, the Father, sent me to do. I've got to fulfill what the Scriptures have said that I would do. Put up that sword." You know what the Lord Jesus did? He healed that man's ear. I wouldn't be thinking about patching up my enemy, would you? But the great I Am, even in his betrayal, his knowledge is great and his work is great. And listen to what it says. He says, "I've got 12 legions of angels. It could be right here now. But how shall the Scriptures be fulfilled?" Verse 55. "In that same hour," said Jesus to the multitudes, "are you come out as against a thief with swords and staves to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you laid no hold on me. But all this was done that the Scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." Listen. "Then in their confusion, the disciples, some that are willing to fight, some that had taken swords to Gethsemane, some that were, Peter, willing to stand up and fight for the Lord right there, and the Lord saying, no, this is not the time to fight, then all the disciples forsook him and fled." They left him. Judas betrayed him. But then our Lord Jesus was left alone. Loneliness is a terrible thing. And many of us at different times have experienced loneliness, and some to a greater degree than others in different ways and such as that. I tell you what, the Lord Jesus knows all about what loneliness is. Sometimes it's said that folks would be in a crowd of people, a multitude of people, and still be alone. The Lord Jesus was left alone. His disciples left him. And he stood there alone. They're there. Peter's willing to fight. The Lord said, put up your sword. He sees the Lord Jesus heal the servant's, Malchus' servant's ear. And Peter says, "I'm out of here." And leaves our Lord. He's betrayed and he's forsaken. He's forsaken. And not only that, in Mark chapter 14, verse 50, it says the same thing. "And they all forsook him and fled." In Luke chapter 22, I want you to turn over here and read this. Judas betrayed him. The disciples fled. John and Peter followed close later on in the night to see what's going on with Jesus. John has some kind of access to the leadership there of the Jews at that time, and so he's able to seemingly get into the Sanhedrin. His expectation is that Peter will come. Now, Peter won't go, and the Lord has told Peter that night that he would deny him three times before the rooster would crow twice. And we read in Luke chapter 22, verse number 61, "And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter after he had denied him the third time. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly." When Peter, after consideration of what happened in Gethsemane, could have could have been willing to go ahead and say, yeah, I'm his disciple. Yes, I'm his follower. Yes, I'm with him. And yes, I identify with him. He said, no, I don't know him. I mean, I really don't know him. To the point of cursing. If there's ever anyone to ever be justified in being offended, it would be the Lord Jesus Christ, wouldn't it? And then, as we consider about Judas, back on Judas, what did Judas betray the Lord for? What did he betray him for? In Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26, the great I am in his betrayal. We see his knowledge of it. We see that he's forsaken of all. And then we see here about what he was betrayed for. Matthew chapter 26, verse number 15, or verse number 14. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went out unto the chief priests and said unto them, what will ye give me, and I will deliver him unto you? And they coveted with him for 30 pieces of silver. Really? The Lord Jesus Christ, the King of glory, the Creator of the world, God Almighty in the flesh, for 30 pieces of silver? Really? Really? But it was prophesied, wasn't it? In Mark, and it says in Mark chapter 14, verse 11, and when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money when he was willing to do so, and he sought how he might conveniently betray him. In Luke chapter 22, verse number 4, it says that he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them. In verse 6, it says, and he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. He was even a coward in doing so. But he wanted that money. And he betrayed our Lord for 30 pieces of silver. You know what, though? It was prophesied that that would be the case. In Matthew chapter 27, not far from where we've been reading there, in verse number... and telling here about Judas and his death and his suicide and that. And it says here in verse number 9, in all those things that were done, then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, or Jeremy the prophet, speaking of Jeremiah, saying, and they took 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value. And they took the money when Judas brought it back, and he was remorseful. He wasn't repentant. He was caught. They went and bought a place for poor people to be buried in, the potter's field. 30 pieces of silver. The Lord knew he would be sold for 30 pieces of silver. The prophecy is there found in Zechariah, and you say, well, how is it that it says Jeremiah and we find the prophecy in Zechariah chapter 11, verses 12 and 13. Well, maybe Jeremiah was the one that wrote the book of Zechariah, as Zechariah had the prophecy. Some would take that and say, well, can't trust the Word of God. Something doesn't jive. Oh, there's enough that jives that you can trust the Word of God. Amen. It says there in Zechariah chapter 11, verses 12 and 13, and I said unto them, if you think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter, a goodly price, that I was prized of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. The Lord inspired Zechariah, used Jeremiah to write that down and pin that down hundreds of years before the Lord Jesus was sold out. And Jesus still went to Gethsemane that night. He was betrayed. But he's powerful even in his betrayal. We read over here in Acts chapter, and all this is tied to this. In Acts chapter 2, as Peter preaches here and the brethren preach, and namely Peter is noted here, we see what the brethren understand and come to understand after the Lord's resurrection, and he opens the scriptures up to them and shows them how all this goes together and how all this fits together. And they say, oh, remember what Jesus said? remember what he said here and remember what he said there about he was going to be betrayed and given over the hands of the Gentiles and given over the hands of the Jews and the chief priests were going to put him to death. Remember all that? It was so he knew exactly what was going on before it happened and knew all about it. And it's because of this. And Peter preached it on this day when he had opportunity to preach the message to those people, as we preached recently about how the Lord launched his church out without his physical presence, but with his spiritual presence and the Holy Spirit work of the Comforter in his church. They take the opportunity this day to preach the message, and that message is found here in verse number 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs. You saw all that he did, and what he did was prolific. It was greater in multitude than any other man of God had ever been sent before. Because he's a Savior. He's a Son of God. He says he was approved, signed, sealed, and delivered by God, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves know, verse 23, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. He is life, but he willingly entered into death that he might defeat death, that he might destroy death, and he could not be held by death because he is life. And so for 3 days and three nights, that's all the testimony that was needed. That's all the witness that was needed. And Jesus takes his life back again. But you know what? This was all determined by the Lord. In consideration of this passage, in consideration of the thoughts of this message, you know, it's like Jesus, it's like God the Father has a plan and has a time and has a working, and the Lord Jesus submits to it. We think of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And it's like the Lord, it's like the Father takes Jesus and he sets him at the right time, at the appointed time, he sets him right down here in front of the world, in front of wicked men, and he backs away. And what do? They run up there and they kill him because they hate him. Hate him without a cause. He's a condemnation. But in that wickedness of man, the great work of redemption and atonement of God is accomplished for his people. Isn't that a wonder? Man does not thwart God in any way. He doesn't. Why? He's the great I am. I am. And they fall back. I am in his knowledge of his betrayal. Because in all these things, and what the Lord, the determinate counsel of God, that horizon purpose, that's what the determinate counsel, many synonyms at hand, his horizon purpose, his appointment of his volition, his decree of will, his ordination of his advice, what he's going to do, he did it, and he let wicked men run all over it and seemingly destroy his sacrifice, his Savior, speaking of the Father. But you know what? This Lord Jesus, he can't be held down by death. That's what makes him such a wonderful and great Savior. He is life, and he took his life back. The apostle tells him here, he says, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. You killed him. You killed him. I killed him. Right? I'm a sinner. I needed him to die. My sin killed him. Me and my sin betrayed him. Me and my sin, we sold him out. I sold him out. And he went ahead and did those things for me anyway. Amen? What a glorious thing. See, how many times the Lord Jesus said during the course of his ministry, in John chapter 2, let's take a walk through the book of John and just get this in our hearts and minds. The Lord Jesus, at the beginning of his ministry, is invited to a marriage. They're without wine, and his mother comes to him and says to him, they have no wine. Verse 4 of chapter 2, John chapter 2, Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? He's not being disrespectful. He's not being disrespectful in there, but I think he's making a statement that I know the time frame. Mine hour is not yet come. It's not time for me to do my first miracle. But you know what? When it was time, he did it. When it was time for the Lord to make that showing of his ability, he did it. Because he was on a time frame from the Lord. In John chapter 7, we read here about his half-siblings by Mary and Joseph. Of course, his father is God Almighty, his mother being Mary, the Lord using her to birth our Lord, and her he was conceived. And it says here, when they challenged him, it said at the beginning of his ministry, the Jews are seeking to kill him, and his siblings say, nobody does anything in secret. He said, if you're something, go show yourself openly. Don't be afraid. And his brethren didn't believe in him at that time. Verse number 5, verse 6 of John 7. Then Jesus said unto them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. We don't know when we're going to die. It could be at any minute. And that's the way of the Lord, that we don't know when we're going to die. It's in his hand. Life and death is in his hands. And I could be dead before the sun goes down. It could be the case with you. But you know what? Jesus knew when he was going to die. He knew when he was going to be betrayed. He said, it's not time for me to go down there. And we know in that account that the Lord did ultimately go down there in his time. See, it's not at the time of man, but it's at the time of God. In this same chapter, we see here in verse number 28, then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, ye both know me, and ye know whence I am, and I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me. Then they sought to take him, listen to this, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come. They tried to throw him off of the, what was it there, at Nazareth at the beginning of his ministry. He went back and preached there, and they went from him reading in the synagogue to where they want to throw him off the hill. But he went out of their midst. It wasn't his time to die. Wasn't his time to get hurt. Wasn't his time to even be bruised. But the time was ahead, appointed of God. And right on time, our Lord Jesus was there. In John chapter 8, verse number 19, then said they unto him, where is thy father? Jesus answered, ye neither know me nor my father. If ye had known me, you should have known my father also, along the line of what Brother Bobby read this morning. These words, verse 20, these words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. See, I don't think that that's saying that they didn't think about it. I think they were so seethed and so riled up and so against and opposed to him, but the Lord just didn't let them. Because it wasn't time. But when it came time there in Gethsemane, again, the Father set his Son before the world, and wicked men did what's just natural for them to do. They came and they killed the Lord. He was betrayed. He was forsaken. He was alone. But in all that, in his betrayal, he is the great I Am. He showed his knowledge of this and faced it yet. He was forsaken, and it was prophesied it would be the case. He was sold for a terribly low price. What kind of price could be put upon our Lord? And it's an offense that he would be sold for such. But it was right on time and right on his plan. They answered him in John chapter 18, verse number five. They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. He saith unto them, I am. I am. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. The betrayal of our Lord Jesus Christ. How about you? Jesus did these things. He submitted himself to be betrayed. He submitted himself to be forsaken. He was sold for such a terrible price, such a the estimation of that against the value of the Savior. It's just their worlds, they're infinitely separated. And the thing is, the Lord Jesus Christ did all those things right on the time frame of God. Was he betrayed? Why was he sold? Why was he forsaken? Not because of anything he did. He was innocent in every way. But he did that for me. He saved me. If you're here and saved, you know and believe that he did that for you. And be reminded that he did that for you. He was betrayed. He went ahead and faced his betrayer, knowing that Judas was going to betray him. He went ahead and ministered to his disciples that evening. You know how it is when we get with our children? We're tempted that our children disappoint us or they disobey us. And we've worked with them and taught them and tried to train them the right way. And we all have problems like this. We just can't. There's just some things we just have a hard time getting over. Some things are easy. Some things are difficult. How would you and I be knowing that our children are going to disobey us here in 5 minutes and we would know in advance how? My tendency would be to get sour with them, wouldn't it? Jesus didn't. He told them the truth, but he yet ministered to them. He yet loved them. He yet provided for them. The betrayal of our Lord Jesus Christ, the great I Am, was betrayed. For our sakes, for sinners' sakes.